I want to welcome everybody this evening. Good to see each and every one. And welcome those out in the parking lot. Good to have you all with us, too. So we're going to ask Brother Buford if he will lead us in a song, start our service. And we want to welcome those that are listening on Facebook and the Internet. I want to welcome you, too. Appreciate you listening in through that. Do we have any prayer requests or testimonies, anything anybody wants to do for the Lord? Bless you, brother. You. Bless you. Amen. Bless you, Lukey. Amen. Bless you, James. I'm sure he will. Amen. He is. Yes. Yes. Bless you, people. Bless you, David. Bless you, Willard. Miss Ann. God bless you, Miss Ann. I got a praise item I want to share with you, and I want to appreciate, tell you all how much I appreciate you praying. Monday afternoon, our heat pump guy come out, and he'd been at the house before, and he walked in, let him in the house, and he went right straight to the problem, replaced the switch, and fixed the heat pump. You couldn't ask it for it to win any smoother. And, you know, they just told me the Lord was in it, and Pat called a light and power and asked them about the usage, and it went from 16 down to 1. So, ain't God good? He is so good. I'm just grateful that He cares about everything, every part of our life. God cares about that. If we're concerned about it, He's concerned about it. And I want to welcome these two young fellas here with us tonight, too. I want to welcome you, boys, and good to have you with us. We definitely need to hold them up. Any unspoken? Let's remember those that'll be traveling, and those away from us, and those that wasn't able to come tonight. Let's remember them. All that would like to gather around the altar. I guess what Paul was preaching last week, he shared some scripture, and it got me to thinking. You know what they say, don't you? Iron sharpeneth iron. So I guess the Lord done a little bit of sharpening. But I got to thinking about God's will. You know, your will is something that you know, you have in your mind that you might want to do or a certain way you might want to do. It's things that we think about, you know, maybe the future or, you know, hopes that we might have or, you know, things that we might want. That's what our will is. And it makes me wonder about God's will. And, you know, certainly God has a will for each and every one of us. And we have to search that out for ourselves. And just real briefly, he has some basic wills for every one of us. This pertains to everybody. And in Matthew chapter 18, there's several places of Scripture that he put upon my heart. And I don't know, we'll just let him lead and might not use all of them. But in Matthew chapter 18, we'll begin with verse 12. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You know who these little ones are? They're us. They're us, guys. And He wants everyone. Of course, we know that it's God's will that everyone would be saved, that everyone would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved. But He wants us not to perish either along the way. He wants to take care of us. And in 1 Peter, chapter 2, begin with verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So God wants us to do good works according to God's word. Now not so we'll be seen or we'll be recognized or anything. I don't care if anybody even knows my name here on this earth. You know who I care knows my name? My Father. That's the only one that matters to me. And if anybody else don't know it, that's all right. Let's see what First John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And it's His will. He wants us to live forever. But there's some conditions to it, guys. There's some conditions. We got to stay away from the world. And He's going to help us. But I got to thinking about, you know, and there's so much. I got to look. I looked at this for 3 days, and I can't remember exactly how many times it is in God's Word. It's like 2,000 or 3,000 times. Just the word wills mentioned. And God's wills, just you could spend months on studying and learning about God's will and everything. And then I got to thinking about, you know, man has a will of their own too. We got our own will. And for years and years and years, I wandered around my own will. And Matthew chapter 8, And it's so easy for us from time to time to say, I'll do this, I'll do that. It's real easy for us to say that sometimes, ain't it? In Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, it says, And a certain scribe came and said to him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a pretty bold statement, ain't it? Now, keep in mind, this was a scribe that came to him. In Jesus' time, they had an actual belief. Now, they believed this with everything in them, that the more prosperous a person was, material-wise, the closer he was to God. Now, ain't that, you know, some people still hold on to that. They count God's blessings as immaterial things. And God may bless you with material goods, and He has all of us, but that's not how God measures blessings. That's not how we need. But look in verse 20, what happened, what Jesus' response was. And Jesus said, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head down. Now, I don't recall reading it where into this, that this scribe continued to follow him. And there's a parable about one that came to him and asked him what it would take for he might have eternal life. And when the Lord told him that he had to sell all of his goods and give to the poor, he went away heartbroken and sad. And I believe that's what happened to this scribe here. When he found out, I'm not going to make any money or get rich or be held up on my own here if I follow him. So evidently he didn't follow him. In Luke chapter 12, begin with verse 16. Now, I think Paul might have mentioned this same scripture. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And I got, this man had his own will. And I wondered, when the Lord put this on my heart, I wondered, now this was a Jew that he was speaking to, an Israelite, not a Gentile. He was talking about a fellow Jew that should have known God's Word, should have been familiar with it. And he said, I got my own will. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing, you know, God. And again, I think he was looking at that tradition that they had. Boy, God's really blessed me. I know I'm in favor with God because I got a lot of material things. Didn't turn out the way he thought, did it? God had a different will. God had a different plan. And I'm going to do this just the way that the Lord told me to do it. I'm going to leave you with a question. Does our will match up with God's will? Now, I've chewed on that a lot, and that's good. It's all right. So I'm going to leave you with that. And I love you, and I appreciate your attention. And when the Lord's done, I'm done. Thank you, Dan. Does anybody have anything they need to do for the Lord, would like to do for the Lord?
Christ. Well. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen, James. Anyone else? That's right. That's exactly right. Better than having the rocks cry out, ain't it? Anyone else? Not, Brother Paul, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's remember Lou. I don't know what's wrong, but let's remember her.
You know, that's the truth tonight, Brother Gene. Talk about the will of man, the will of God. And, you know, you look around and you see a lot of things and a lot of stuff going on. And I was listening to two radio stations coming to church, and I never heard so much confusion. It's a lot of stuff, and you wonder why people don't know how to get saved and they don't know how to live for God. Gene taught it tonight. He said it's the will of God. He that abideth forever, it's he that doeth the will of God. But I got a thought tonight as I want to share with you tonight. And, you know, as a child of God, you always want to see people grow. You want to see them do good. And, you know, and listen to the news today, the fire's starting, ball games in Greenville tonight. And I'll be 61 years old here in a little bit. And it didn't used to be like that. Because people used to stand up for God and stand up for what was right. But I got a thought tonight. Why just one? Why just one? Turn your Bible to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 15. Got a lot to say tonight. But in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, I want you to notice this tonight and pay attention to it. And who knows the mind of God? I believe the mind of God is it's not his will that any perish, but all come to repentance. But in the Gospel of Matthew, in the 15th chapter, in the 29th verse, he said, "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." You may be seated. Now, I want you to think about this tonight, and turn with me to John chapter number 5. It's a story here about a feast of the Jews. Now, they had a lot of traditional things they'd done, and different things, religious things they'd done. And here at this particular time, Jesus went up to the feast. The Bible said there was a Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of important folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first the troubling the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Let me ask you a question tonight. Who is that angel that comes down and troubles the water? Where do we get this message of the angel coming down, troubling the water? You know what Revelation said we are? We're waters, many waters. You know what the Lord, I didn't set it up like this, but the Lord, He said, I'm going to call you to deliver a message. And He said, I'm going to send it down from God out of heaven. I get it down through the Holy Ghost of God and I bring it to you. I believe every time we meet, the water's troubled. Why just one gets healed? Matthew chapter number, we just read it there. Jesus, here was a woman that had a child that was troubled and had demonically led, and she come to him, and Jesus cast it out. Then he went to the mountain there, and the Bible said when he went there, he said it was a great multitude following him, blind, lame, halt, dumb. And he said, and when they got there, they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and the Bible said, and he healed them all. Here in John chapter 5, there was a pool. It was called the Bethesda, and it had five porches on it. In these lay all kind of sick folk, all kind of people that had diseases, all kind of people that had all kind of impurities and all kinds of things wrong with them. They're waiting on the water to be stirred so they could get healed. Why just one? You ever thought about that? Why did just one person get healed at the pool of Bethesda? When in Matthew said, when they put him at his feet, he healed them all. Remember in Jesus' hometown, he couldn't do very many good things there because of his own kinfolk, because of his own people. Now, I'm not saying anything about anybody tonight, but James testified tonight, why just one? He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I'll be in the midst. But as you look at the church, Donnie, and you look and you wonder about where people's at, what they're doing, why they're not here, and then this and that, and you wonder, and it's getting less and less and less, and he wants you to say, and we're at the place now, we're going to say, what is it, just one? Why just one? Why did just one get healed at the pool of Bethesda? I'll tell you why. It says, he said, because every time I start to get in there, he said, somebody will get in my way. So people tonight, the reason they're not here, something got in their way. I'm tired. You ain't no tired than I am. I'm hurting. You ain't hurting. You probably ain't hurting much. You know what I'm saying? Why just one? I don't know about you, but I want to be that one, don't you? That's my message tonight. I want to get it burned in you. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray God to be that one. I read there and I thought about these young boys over here tonight. They was a multitude of following the Lord one day, and he turned to his disciples and said, boys, you got anything to eat? And he said, well, this is a desert place out here. What do you want us to do? Go back and buy some bread? And all of a sudden, Jesus said, one of the men said, there's a lad here. What he said was, hey, there's one here tonight that's got the meat. There's one here. He ain't got much, but it'll feed a multitude. I'm saying tonight, guys, it don't take a whole lot. All it takes is one. Hey, you remember the story there in Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2 when all men of all nations would gather together there. Brother, when the power of God came down and it filled the house, and you know what happened? One man stood out. out and stirred the water. Have one man stood out and begin to tell the greatest story that's ever been told. And you know what happened? Have one made two. Two made three. Right on up to 3,000. They broke bread house to house. And brother had all things in common. And the word of God grew and multiplied back in those days. Why is that? Because one put God's will first in his life. One put the will of God first in his life. And you say tonight, Jesus healed them all there. Brother, on the mountain when they put him down at his feet. And the Bible said they cast them down at his feet. And brother, healed all of them. But the pool of Bethesda, brother, there was all kinds of people there, and they were just one that healed, got healed that day. Because people got in the way. And not only that, had nobody to help me. And so on and so forth. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, God's still in the saving business. He's still in the healing business. And he's still in the business to get people excited about the things of God. And brother, sometimes all it takes is just one. You think about this tonight. You read in the Bible where that Jesus, when they brought all of them to him, healed every one of them. Over in the New Testament, it was such an outbreak that they got to bring them and laying them in the streets along the shadows where the men of God would come by. And you know what would happen if they got in the shadow? Hey, I'm saying to get in the shadow of the cross. I mean, just one to get in the shadow of the cross. It'll make a difference. And go think about Legion over yonder tied up in the graveyard. But nobody could do nothing with him. But I'll tell you what happened to him. He got touched by the Savior and he wanted to follow him. Jesus said, hey, you go back and tell your family and your friends what the Lord has done for you. I don't know what happened to everything, but I know about a woman there one day down there at the well, the Samaritan woman. And brother, when she heard the news of Jesus and he spoke to her and talked to her and gave her a drink, she went back to Samaria and told what Jesus had done. And brother, a lot of them believed it because of her. But a lot of them had to come and see like Thomas. But I'm saying tonight, guys, why just one? I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that one crowd, don't you? That'll follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And brother, put my faith and my trust in him, not knowing what he's going to do, but he's able to do far above what we can even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, according to Ephesians, guys. Thank God tonight for just that one that'll make a difference. Notice tonight how one can make a difference. Just one person can make a difference. James testified a while ago. You know what that done to me? It made me want to testify. It encouraged me, Debbie, that boy that got saved years ago and still living right and loving God. That one can make a difference. It don't take a thousand. It don't take this or that. It just takes one to want to do the will of God. I know a man that is in the Bible. He knowed the letters. I mean, he knowed the book, brother. His name was Saul. And brother, when God blinded him on that road to Damascus, he was one of the greatest men outside of Christ. And he just one man, 138-pound preacher, had that turned the world upside down. Or should I say, he turned it on the upright. What is that? Just one can make a difference. You read the Bible, guys. Just one can make a difference. This woman pressed through the crowd. Just one made the difference to cause Jesus to stop and say, power, come out of me. Virtue left me. I mean, a determination. Somebody was determined, even though she had to push through the crowd, even though she didn't have nobody to help her, she still went and pressed and made a difference, brother. And she was healed from that sickness, that disease. And blind Bartimaeus, everywhere you read in the Bible, guys, just one can make a difference. I mean, one can leap through a wall and run over to Have the troops won. That brother can stand for God and stir the water and make the difference and get somebody excited about God. He healed all of them in Matthew. But why just one in John? Why just one in John? Like Gene, I'm going to leave something with you tonight. What's more important in our life, my will or the will of God in my life? He healed all of them in Matthew, but John chapter 5 at the pool, there was just one healed. You ever wondered about that? Why was there just one healed in John chapter 5? When it was the same type of people that was in Matthew, lame, blind, hauled, lay it right there at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus healed all of them. But in John chapter 5, there was just one that healed. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe God can heal. I believe He can save. I believe He can save by the multitude, save by individuals. But I'll guarantee you one thing, when we get the will of God in our life, it'll change everything about us. Let me tell you something tonight. God told me to be instant in season and out of season. I believe that means the same thing to you. Season ain't so hot right now. Ain't it amazing tonight you take several down to the river and baptize them and all kinds of people around, all kinds of folk around there. And then comes Wednesday night, praise God, you might have one in church. I want to be that one, though, don't you? I want to be accounted for. I want to be accounted for. Why is that? I tell you why. Because Jesus might come by. He might save somebody. He might heal somebody. And I want to go tell it everywhere I go. Hey, you ought to have been there last night. That young boy testified and got a fire going in them. And they're not ashamed of the word of God. Not ashamed of what Jesus has done for them. And we may not see them much longer. But here after a while, down the road somewhere, we might see them still on fire for God. And God blessing their lives. Why is that? All it takes is one. All it takes is one. One. One touch from the Lord. It'll make the difference. Jesus healed every one of them in Matthew I just read. Many places in the Bible you'll see that Jesus touched and healed and done many things to multitudes. What about feeding the 5,000, the 4,000, and not counting the women and the children? What great miracles He did. And what great miracles He did there in Matthew when He healed all of them. But I wonder tonight about John chapter 5 when He healed that one man that He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. I wonder tonight why it was just one there. I believe it's a lesson for us. Every time the water stirred, people ain't going to pay no attention to it. I don't know, guys. I don't know. I mean, I may be crazy. But I believe even though that one was there and said no, he didn't have no help and people was getting in the way, I believe if Jesus had wanted to, He could have healed every one of them like He did in Matthew. But why just one? Look at the crowd tonight. Look at the church as a whole closing down, COVID-19 and all that stuff. And have got people scared to death and all this and all that. And I know that we need to pay attention and be careful and all that stuff. But I'll tell you one thing, guys. Hey, ain't a disease in this world that God's Son can't heal. All power in heaven and earth given unto Him. And but if He can heal them all, He can still heal them one at a time. I don't know why He don't, but He knows best. As a church and as a pastor and as a people, when you look at Matthew and He's healing all of them, and then in John He just heals one, and you look at the heartbeat of the church and the direction it's headed in, sad. Listen, I remember when I first come down here. Donnie, you remember? You hadn't got in yet, but some of you was here. We on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we'd have a pretty good crowd. And then now the honeymoon's wore off and they're tired of me and everything. And I don't know what's wrong with them, but I know one thing. People need God more than anything. If God sent me to stir the water, it don't matter what you think, what I think. Do the will of God. Do what God tells you to do and everything else will just fall in place. And if it don't, it ain't my fault. This is the individual. It's the will of God and the will of man. God give us a free will to choose this day. Choose who we're going to serve. Him or this world, the lust of the flesh, pride of life, and all that. Why is it just one? One's all it takes. And I want to be that one. Don't you? You're a part of it. We got a song, the Lord Lets Us Live, and we'll sing in the choir one day. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And I don't know about you, I'd like to be part of that spark. I'd like to be part of that. I'd like, old Jerry Scaff used to say, I'd like to be part of that noisy crowd. I've heard him say it a lot. How do you do that? Somebody's got to do it. Somebody, he said, well, praise the Lord. Don't feel like it. He didn't say, do you feel like it? He said, just praise me. How for the sacrifice of our lips, praise unto his name. Glory and honor to him. And guys, listen. You don't read much about John 5 after that man. Of course, we preached it all over the years. We'll say that he went to Lazarus' tomb, laid down his bed and helped unwrap him. You know how we get excited about things and stuff like that. But, you know, it just takes one. One. Don't let people get in your way. Don't be waiting on somebody else. Be that one that says, there's a lad here. Here, use mine. Let you be the one that takes your bed up and walks. You be the one of those in Matthew's where that he got healed and all of them around got healed. Then you know what happened? You'll see more of the will of God than you will see the will of man. I've said a lot tonight. Gene's open with it. We need the will of God more than we need our own will. And that John around that pool of Bethesda, let's be that one that he touches. Let's be part of that crowd that he ministers to. Let's be part of that crowd that lays her coat and her branches in the way to make the way for the Son of God. Them that went before and them that went behind glorifying and praising God. I mean, together, one together can make a crowd. I'm done. I stand to her feet. There ain't no need of beating and knocking anymore, is it? Why just one? Why just one? When he touched a multitude in Matthew, then John 5, just one. Something to think about, ain't it? What about the will of God in our lives? Why in Matthew a multitude and why in John just one? I believe it's pressing away, don't you? I believe you got to press through the crowd. I believe you got to make your mind up. And just trust God and he'll do the rest for you. Anything before we dismiss tonight? Bless you, buddy. Bless your heart, son. Why just one? And my memorial's tomorrow from 4 to 6. And 8 if anybody can come. We're going to go in early in the morning so we can get here.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Listen, guys, I'm not much. The airplane's cut off. I went to 32 different churches. I didn't even have a time. I didn't want one. People was hungry. And a lot of those places are people like Junior Pat starving to death. If they wouldn't have been back. I know what you're talking about. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with the call of God on me. I keep heaven. Whether I live or whether I die, whether I make my bed in hell or not, I'll not ever get over this. Does that make sense? Anybody else? Bless you, brother. I can pay all time. Bone pickers need to be loving to death. Just need the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Donnie's talking about them boys up there. They're good as good as they can be. It's good men. Just need the Lord. Worked all their lives. Don't know nothing but working and drinking. A lot of them. Give you the shirt off the back. Amen. Amen. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow night. The time to show support for her, lady. She was here a long time.